Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, August the 20th. And we're having a very nice day here in North Texas. A little warm, but it is August after all. Well, we're going to keep talking today about Afghanistan, a couple of other interesting stories about President Biden and Vice President Harris and how they are standing politically with the country. But let me begin with what I think is the most moving image of what is happening in Afghanistan. And, of course, what is happening in Afghanistan is an unfolding story. So there may be other images that we see over the next 2 weeks or whatever. But to me, the image that I think best represents what we're watching is to watch that video or that image of a mother passing her baby or her son or daughter or whatever to a soldier over the fence. And that, to me, tells it all. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to see the meaning of that image. Here you have a woman who is literally saying, take my baby, because I don't want my baby here. I don't want my baby growing up in this country. So please take him. Maybe someday I'll reunite with him. I don't know. But please take him so that he can have a chance. That is an image that speaks volumes. As I say, you don't have to be a historian. You don't have to be an expert on Afghanistan. That tells you everything you need to know. That lady, that mother knows that the Taliban is back. And what that means is that she, as a woman, is going to be a second-class citizen, and that baby, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but assuming it's a girl, she wants to make sure that her little girl doesn't grow up here, that somehow her little girl has a chance somewhere else. It is really an image, a story that it just touches you, of course, from a human standpoint, from a humanitarian standpoint. Imagine what that tells you. I mean, imagine how difficult it'd be for a woman to separate herself like that from a baby, to say, here, take my baby, because I don't want him to grow up here. I mean, it is an image, it is a message that I have to tell you, there's no way to explain it. But that, I think, tells you all. You don't have to be an expert to understand what that means. That woman knows that what's coming is not good, and she wants her baby to grow up somewhere else. Now, hopefully, the story has a happy ending, and hopefully that mother and that baby can be reunited. Hopefully, that's what happens. That's what we all want. But if they're not reunited, because after all, no one can guarantee the safety of that woman who gave up the baby, hopefully that little baby can be adopted by a family somewhere and can grow up and live in a peaceful country, in a prosperous country. And I'm sure that that baby will be reminded as he or she grows up of her mother or his mother who did the ultimate sacrifice, really. Not the ultimate sacrifice, but as close to it as you can do, and give up that baby so that the baby can grow up somewhere else. What an amazing, just an amazing image, and one that tells you everything about what's going on in the country. I have a post coming out Saturday morning about what's happening in Afghanistan with women. You know, the Taliban is already telling the women's soccer team that, delete your pictures, change your uniforms. It's a different ball game right now, that the Taliban is back. And somebody who apparently is the head of the team is telling the young women who are part of that team to delete their photos and delete their social media presence because they could be targeted personally by the Taliban. So this is the world. This is what is going to happen to Afghanistan after the events of last week. Look, people had disagreements about this war, and I understand that, and I respect people who disagreed with me about this conflict. I was always of the opinion that we needed to keep a military force in Afghanistan for the simple reason that you have to be present in a part of the world that where so many potential adversaries are living. China, India, Pakistan, Iran, all of those four countries have a border with Afghanistan. So I felt that it was important to be there with a modest 2,500 man presence in a base or something. I never felt that that was a high price to pay for the advantage of being there. Our troops have actually not been engaged in fighting now for about 10 years. They've been primarily in a support role, and I had no problem continuing that support role. So I guess maybe I'm in the minority of you out there, but I felt that keeping a military force in Afghanistan was a small price to pay. It was an investment, an insurance policy, whatever analogy you want to use. That's all gone now, of course. And now we have to deal with the aftermath. And this is going to get very, very ugly. That's all I can tell you. The potential for hostages. Now, maybe the Biden administration has a surprise coming up. Maybe they're going to step in and rescue the, you know, I don't know. I hope they do. I mean, I hope this works out well. As an American, not as a Republican, but as an American, I hope this works out well. I hope they can rescue everybody. But a week into this crisis, you don't get the feeling that this is going to have a happy ending. On the contrary, you get the feeling that this is going to have a very unhappy ending, which is why that mother gave up her baby. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, again, talking about this terrible Afghanistan story. You know, there is going to be an investigation by the Congress in the fall about Afghanistan. The congressmen will come back from their recess. I'm sure they're going to get an earful about this, about the inflation, about the border. They're going to get an earful. We're going to have an investigation, and we're going to have to put some people under oath, Secretary of Defense, the General Milley, the top general, and other people from this administration. They're going to be put under oath at a congressional hearing, and I wonder who the administration is going to throw under the bus, who's going to end up taking the blame for all of this. It won't be President Biden, from what we can tell. And it won't be Vice President Harris, because nobody has seen her in a while. So we'll see what happens. But those hearings that should be starting probably in September, I would think, they're going to be very contentious, very, very contentious. And it's going to be very ugly for the Biden administration. The Biden administration is already paying a price politically. Now, today on the Rasmussen Daily Approving Poll, President Biden is at 46%. Now that, I don't know how much of Afghanistan is included in that, because the way that Rasmussen does their polling, they do it over 3 days. So I don't know how much of Afghanistan, probably some Afghanistan factor in that number of 46, but I think it'll be more evident over the next few days. But 46 is not a terrible number for a president, but in the case of President Biden, it is a trend. He was over 50. He was at 51% in that range, and now he's been going down. He's at 46. My guess is he's going to drop a little bit more, simply because people are not happy with what he's doing. I mean, he has not only done a terrible job in Afghanistan, but the worst part about it is the way that he has explained things, or the lack of explanation. I understand he's supposed to be speaking to the nation today on Friday. I hope he does something more than just read a quick statement and tell everybody everything they're going to do. I don't know if he's going to take questions. That's been another problem. He doesn't take questions. So let's hope for the sake of the country that the president is going to explain himself properly and maybe take a few questions from the media. The other problem is Vice President Harris. Only 45% of likely voters in the latest Rasmussen poll think that she's qualified to be president. That is a scary number, 45%. That means that there are some Democrats who don't think she's qualified. And, you know, she has not exactly made a lot of friends, frankly, since she became vice president. I think her overall performance has been rather amateurish. And when she went down to Central America, I mean, she made a total fool out of herself. She's in Vietnam this week, not exactly where you want to go if people are talking about Afghanistan being another Vietnam. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. This is probably a trip that was planned before, but man, that's not a good thing to be in Vietnam when everybody's talking about another Vietnam. Now, there is an interesting also in the Rasmussen reports, in their polling data, and I like Rasmussen because he uses likely voters, which is, I think, the best measurement, because you're talking about people who are going to vote or likely vote. That's a much better measurement than just adults or registered voters. I think it's a better measurement. And he uses that. And in that, in one of their latest reports, they say that somebody like a majority of the country does not believe that Biden is running the country. They think there's somebody behind him who's running the country. And that, of course, has raised all kinds of speculation about the 25th Amendment. Should the 25th Amendment be implemented or exercised, whatever the right word is? I don't think that we have right now the elements to apply the 25th Amendment because, the 25th Amendment was about physical incapacity, you know, like a stroke or something that made the president unable to function, you know, you had the president, let's say, as a vegetable at a hospital or something where he simply has no ability to function. What's happening with Biden is a little bit different. What's happening with Biden is that he's starting to show his age. So he's not physically unfit, but he could be in a short time. And so this is going to be a very serious problem for the Democrats, because the Democrats are going to have to get – they're going to have to be the ones who carry the water, because they have the cabinet and they have a vice president, and you're going to need those two to get the thing or to get the amendment off the table. So it's going to be – we're headed into some real interesting times. There's a cartoon in the Dallas Morning News today who shows Biden and all this destruction around him. And one fellow says to the other, you know, we're going to have to do something different than just calling him the anti-Trump. Because the fact is that if you voted for Joe Biden, I don't see how you can be happy with what we're watching. I mean, if you're honest with yourself, how can you be watching? How can you be happy with what you're watching if you voted for Joe Biden? Gasoline, the border, and now this? Man, it's going to be a mess. By the way, the FBI, Reuters has a report today that the FBI is issuing a report that they didn't see any evidence of any organization regarding the events of January 6th. I don't have all the information. The headline is interesting. And we'll deal with this on Monday when we get together with Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. This is one of the topics that I want to discuss, because if the FBI is saying this right now, then much of what we've heard about what happened on January the 6th was just a lot of political propaganda. I mean, so this is going to be, it's an interesting turn of events and something that we'll have to keep an eye on. So we'll talk more about it next week as I get more information. Well, on this day in history, 1940, Leon Trotsky was assassinated in Mexico. He had gotten away from the Soviet Union. He was a huge enemy, of course, of Stalin. And he went to Mexico seeking refuge, and somebody killed him. It was a communist who killed him, but there was never any official connection to Stalin, but, you know, maybe too much of a coincidence. But Leon Trotsky, one of the faces of the Russian Revolution, shot and killed on this day in 1940 in Mexico. Interesting, interesting story. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.